Walking is valid. It is a cardio workout. It is valid. It is valid. It is valid. Do it. Do it. It's good. I take extra long walks to my kids every day now for that reason. It's cardiovascular development and it can be fun. It is really good fun if you can get into it. I have discovered my love or re-tapped into my love of my nightly walks.
Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
Hello and happy Mother's Day as we get ready to celebrate big time. My husband's off grabbing a big meal for us to enjoy, allegedly by ourselves later. We'll see how well that works out. But to everyone who celebrates Mother's Day and who thinks this day is terrific, happy Mother's Day to you. Why don't you go grab a drink and use the bathroom for a minute? Because I'm about to talk to everybody else who is not having such a great day. So with that, grab your helmet. It's Mother's Day, and I'm just not excited about it, you guys. I'm not. People have asked me all week long, what do I want for Mother's Day? And the answer, it's equity. I want all mothers to feel supported in this world and have equal access to the resources kids need in order to thrive. Quality healthcare, safe, affordable childcare, decent education, a safe home, and a justice system that values their futures equally to that of others, regardless of skin color or their ability to afford a good attorney. So yeah, I'm a spoil sport. I'm really, really negative, and I'm totally ungrateful for this manufactured holiday that arose from a need to remind men to thank the persons whose labor, their free labor, by the way, was doing work that no one values to this day. And the fact that this day exists reminds me that no one values my work unless it actually produces dollar signs. I don't want flowers or chocolates or whatever convenient crap you picked up at the last minute. I want my contributions to be seen and valued and my efforts validated every day of the year. Now, let me be clear. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be in a position to be 100% myself all the time. I'm also aware that this luxury is awarded through my marriage to a white man of considerable privilege that extends to our children because, luckily, our relationship is a really good one. But I'm not going to settle for coffee mug platitudes until my daughter is free to be 100% who she is and judged by the same metrics as her brother, as well as the men around her, until every doctor who will ever treat her realizes that health is possible at every size, until her future children, may they be light or dark skinned, are treated equally to her white, college-educated, cisgender, heterosexual, upper-middle-class father and peers in the eyes of the law. Today is not that day, y'all. As grateful as I am for the privilege, I resent that I obtained it via luck. I want better for my kids before they become mothers themselves. If this day is hard for you, no matter what your reasons are, I see you and I support you too. The world may not have your back, but Fitness Protection will. I want my legacy to last. It is my intent that this company will be here to support you, as well as my own children, long after I pass. What we are really doing here is pushing back against every force that has held us down, held us back, or held us to an unfair standard. And that starts with the way we've been taught to evaluate our own efforts as well as our own bodies. F that. The fact that you're here at all tells me everything I've ever needed to know about you. The only thing that matters about you, that you've made it this far, means that you are tenacious AF. We don't need anyone to remind us to celebrate you. And we never will. Still think I'm negative? To the white men in this program, remember, I'm raising one. I'm married to one. I don't hate you. I only hate the ones who know the system is rigged in their favor and abuse it or refuse to see it. You shouldn't need daughters to see it, just like you shouldn't need a publicly traded company to remind you to be grateful while selling you cards one day a year. Those guys are ruining it for you. Not me. Remember that. And know that I really appreciate your help in correcting those guys, wherever they appear. And we all know that they're everywhere. Most of all, thank you to my beloved husband, who held his breath the first time he saw me wear a shirt that said, "Lord, give me the confidence of a mediocre white man," then proceeded to do the work to understand what I meant by that. It would not have actually been easier to shut me up, but I'm grateful that you've never once tried. Real lasting change is never comfortable, kind of like my easy effort runs. But today, more than everything else I feel, I'm grateful for you prioritizing my voice over your comfort on this manufactured holiday that we really shouldn't need, reminding me that I am a second-class citizen in my own country and that some of my employees would love to be as much as second-class in this country. I want you to know how much I love you, how much I recognize how difficult this is, how much I ask of you to be married to me, and how appreciative I am that you still are. I am lucky that I have you. The fact that you're here at all is what gives me hope. It gives me the hope that someday our kids, specifically our daughters, won't need the same amount of luck that I've enjoyed, because luck is really hard to transfer. With that, let's get on with the show, right? Yay, heavy stuff done. This is my favorite time of the week. Hopefully it's yours. Hopefully this won't go on for too long, because this is Ask Away with Coach MK. All of your running questions answered, but sometimes we're not really talking about the running, hence the screed at the beginning of this. It's a complicated day for a whole lot of people. It's been a really long week. We are in a really odd time, and running is the thing that can get us through it if we're using the right perspective. I am here to frame and help you retain that positive perspective on the work that you're doing and make sure that the work you do keeps working for you. First, I'm going to start off with some weekly wins before moving on to the questions and maintain, because we didn't have any in build or runner interrupted or rebuild this week. I'm guessing because everybody's out doing something really amazing for Mother's Day or hiding from the internet, because this is another day that hurts a whole lot. And I get that too. It's all valid. It's all happening here. And I am here for you. Go as I move over. If you have a question, if you have something to say, go ahead and throw it in the comments. I will be putting comments live on the screen as I catch them and respond to questions after I've worked through the questions that I have collected over here in the document. But first, we are going to start with weekly wins. Here we go. In Runner Interrupted, Char Gore is enjoying the freedom of waking up without an alarm clock. Yay, that's a big deal. Char has had a really rough year. We are thrilled that she's pulling through the other side of it all. And I love, honestly, waking up without an alarm clock too. But when I say I'm waking up without an alarm clock, I mean that I have a two-year-old running in the room and slapping me on the face and saying, "Breakfast!" She literally slaps me in the face, "Breakfast!" Which is amazing. I don't know where she learned that, but I'm not in love with it. So hopefully, if you wake up anyway other than that, it has to be super pleasant, very cool, and I'm glad that you have it. Over in build, Andrea Jagodic completed her first avocado toast. Congratulations. That is a big deal. Avocado toast is the staple of the runner's diet. It's not eye candy, but it is soul food. It's the workout that you can do any day of the week or every day of the week. The one that I did day in and day out for years. It has all the elements that you need in order to succeed. But you know what? It's so easy that people are often worried that it isn't enough. The first one is always the hardest. Congratulations on making your way through that one, Andrea. Trisha has had a great perspective shift that has helped her find the workouts more manageable. I'm really thrilled to hear that. That is a huge win. The hardest part of migrating to a program like this and starting heart rate training truly is that first run, where you realize that running, when I say it, and what you think of, aren't necessarily the same thing. Every run, be it fast or slow, is a run. One is not lesser. One is not better. They are different kinds of heart. Running a sprint or jogging as slowly as you possibly can, trying to keep your heart rate under, let's say, 110, which I'm not going to ask you to do anytime soon. It's hard to say which one is more difficult, which one's more technically challenging, but neither are easy. Both are their own special brand and breed. of hard. Running more slowly than you want to go into any given moment is one of the hardest things a runner will ever do, which is why no one does it. And that's why I'm here. Congratulations on surviving this beginning of a transition, of a perspective shift. I really hope that it makes all things a little bit easier and the world a little bit better for you. I know I get excited when I can go out and not have to perform or work harder than I need to. I'm never going to ask you to either. Heidi is feeling great after her runs and feeling very motivated to make positive changes. That's huge too. We all live in this place of hustle culture. I remember originally I wanted to call this program Overachievers Anonymous, which would never have worked. But I came to realize that the sort of people who gravitate towards not just distance running, but a sport that does have a pipeline that is very performance based or feels like everything in the running world revolves around performance if you're in it long enough, can be really intimidating. So coming here to a place where you know on day one, I'm going to ask you to do less. I'm going to push you to do less. I'm going to force you to do less. That is counter to everything you've ever heard anywhere else in your life, much less the running world. And I understand how scary that can be. So I'm proud of everyone who has joined Build and is ready to make positive changes to really do things differently. Because I tell you, easy effort is really hard. Over in Rebuild, Jennifer Sutton ran an 80-minute avocado toast in a rare May snow swell. Crazy. I have to admit, this is the first Mother's Day that I've lived in Denver where it didn't snow. I went back through Facebook and was looking at all the pictures of years past, and it has snowed just about every year that I've lived here on Mother's Day. It was a gorgeous day. We went out for a really long walk, and then I went for a faster run than I probably should have, but I needed to work something out of my brain before I sat down here, and I got that done. So that's what that is, and I might even go out for another one after dinner. You never know. It's Mother's Day. I'm going to do whatever I want, just like every other day. Brenda Haskell is back to feeling 100% and she has been easing back into running. We're thrilled to hear that. I hope everything's going well for you, Brenda. I know it has been a particularly rough ride for you as of late, but we are here supporting you. I wish we could all do more. I wish that I could solve every problem, but I can support every person. And I am honored to support you and all that you and your husband have been through this year. I'm proud of you for still being here. And most of all, I'm proud of you for showing up for yourself, because a lot of people, normal humans, would have collapsed under the burdens that you've been carrying. I am proud of you. I am proud of this. And I love having you here. I can never say that enough. Kristen Fraser's daughter is home from the hospital and recovering. Yay! We are all thrilled to hear it. She's been managing to get runs in this week, even with all the craziness. She being Kristen, not her daughter. We're really glad to hear that. I know I was, stalking is the word the kids use for what I was doing on your Facebook page, making sure that everything was okay. I did see the post about your hospital visit. I'm glad to know that the worst is behind you now and we're back in a rebuilding place. Gosh, that's scary when it's your kid. It's scary when there's nothing you can do. And like I said, I'm glad you're able to carve out some time for yourself because, Lord, running can feel like a pampered pet sort of thing. You can diminish anyone's efforts really easily. If you were to turn this into, this is what I do to make myself smaller, it's what I do to make myself pretty, all of a sudden it becomes a luxury. It becomes a vanity thing. If it's truly about self-care, and for me it is, and for all of my runners, that's what we try to make it so. We strip away the performance, we strip away the mandate for better, better, more, and smaller numbers, both on the scale and in the form of finish times. And what comes out the other side is the ability to do something, detach and unplug from your daily life to do something for you. And I'm proud of every person who manages to find a way and a place and a time to do that each and every day. It shouldn't be about a trump card, but often it is about like some big goal or some big thing in order to create that time and space for yourself, to justify time and space for yourself. But at the end of the day, especially on a day like Mother's Day, when you look at all the work that mothers do, all of the emotional labor, all of the unpaid labor, all of the unacknowledged labor, which is why we get a card, chocolates, and flowers on one day. I tell you what, you deserve more than a run every single day. You deserve whatever you want. You deserve all the resources that you could possibly need. And until we have them, you know what? I will settle for a run and I'm never going to stop advocating for you guys to get what you need. If you're not a mother, whether by choice or by chance, all that's valid too. You matter just as much. And I'm going to be advocating for you to get the same, because the flip thing tends to happen to people without children. Oh, you don't have kids. Therefore, you could and stuff gets piled on your plate that doesn't necessarily belong there. So you are not less valuable because you're not raising children. Your time is not less important because it's not filled with wiping noses or reading stories while you're using the bathroom, if your life's anything like mine. Whether this is a bullet that you have willfully dodged or one that you've prayed for and it just hasn't worked out yet, just know that when on a day like today, I want you to know that I see you too. And if there's a part of you that feels less important, that is not true. You deserve self-care just as much as everyone else. There are moments where because I am a parent, I tend to default to that experience because days like today, where I'm so covered with so much love, all I really want to do is run out the door screaming or sit in a room by myself in front of a microphone in a way that people can interact with me, but not all talk to me at the same time, because that, I tell you, that the sound of silence is a really gorgeous thing. The ability to finish a thought as it comes out of my head is a luxury rarely afforded outside of Ask Away, which is why it's my favorite time of the week. Beth Hobson is finally able to start building back her running endurance since tax season is over. Is it over, Beth Hobson? I thought we had an extension until June 15th. Just kidding. Ours was done a while ago. I'm really thrilled to hear that. I know that being an accountant is hard. This is the reason I'm not one. I loved accounting. It was one of my favorite classes, but that's because I had a really awesome teacher. I don't think many people have the experience that I do. But I tell you what, despite loving accounting and loving all the accounting courses I've ever taken, I don't want to do my own taxes. So thank God for CPAs like you, taking some of that burden off my plate. Because that is one thing, kind of like cleaning the toilet. I just don't want to do it. I really, really don't. And yeah, I put those two in the same category because that's what it's like in my world. But a lot of people would put things that I love in the same category too. So no disrespect there. Just know you are appreciated. What you're doing is as difficult as taxing and makes my brain melt just as much as the worst thing I could possibly think of. And I'm thrilled that there's someone in this world volunteering to do that really hard work, the work of taxes. Oh my God. Maintain. Amanda Williams completed a virtual marathon. If you follow me on Instagram at Coach MK Fleming, or if you follow the Fitness Protection Program at Fitness Protection LLC on Instagram, you would have seen that Amanda did an Instagram takeover where she posted pictures of herself throughout the event. She ran a virtual marathon on her own. She'd been training for 3 days at the fair. We were unable to go to the fair. We're still not sure what's going to be happening in the fall, but some opted for the virtual option. Amanda was one of those, and we could not be prouder of you. What a cool experience. Well, how awesome it was to see the pictures of your kids holding their signs. That is amazing. And you are amazing. And I am so proud of you. Francine decided to do the 24-hour Yeti challenge on a whim. That is another really terrible thing. There's a woman, and I feel like I need to warn y'all about her. She is in a lot of the heart rate training groups you'll see her a lot in the 3 days at the fair, FPP Goes to the Fair Facebook group, as well as the general, not coach-led, free heart rate training Facebook group. And she has a lot of terrible ideas, but she sells them so enthusiastically that she gets people to follow her. She had 44 people talked into the fair, which is a 24-hour race, 72-hour race, or 144-hour race on a 1 mile paved loop around a parking lot at the New Jersey State Fairgrounds. Yep, it was fun. We were going to go, including me. And she talked some people into this thing called the Yeti Challenge. And I'll let her describe that in the comments, because I can't even get into, like, I think it's 5 miles, 5 miles every hour or something for 24 hours, or 1 mile every hour for 24 hours. It was something really horrifying. And I had no interest, but a lot of people did it. I am thrilled for the people who did it. Y'all are tenacious. You're more tenacious than me. And I'm pretty tenacious, so that is saying something. Congratulations. Amy Wilson celebrated her birthday this week and participated in a quest to complete 49 miles in a week, and she did it. Well done, Amy Wilson. Oh my gosh. I love it when people, and I did an interview with Terrell at halfmarathons.net. If you're a subscriber to halfmarathons.net, it was subscriber-only content. It was released 2 days ago. But it was a really cool interview. And one of the things that we talked about is I think this is a really cool opportunity for people to think outside the box and say, what do I really want to do? As opposed to trying to sort through options that may or may not interest them all that much. And to the ability right now to run a virtual race, or really run your own race and do exactly whatever it is you want to do, be it the Yeti Challenge or 40, I had 1 mile, as many miles as my age over the course of a week to celebrate this many years of life. Whatever it is you want to do, to make running your celebration. I love that that's happening right now. And I love seeing my people do it. I love that you are living and putting what I preach out into the world. It is what you practice. And very few things in this world can make me happier than seeing people really taking charge, not just of their training, but also of their race, if they choose to race, or really making a celebration out of this super cool hobby rather than the continual heartbreak I see when all you're chasing is performance. This is one of the most gratifying, validating things I've ever read. I love all of you guys so much, and I'm so excited to read this out loud. Carissa Hatlin completed her longest run ever, 16.69 miles. Yay! Carissa, that is a long way. That is a lot of alone time. I hope you loved every second of it. And then Trisha Thorne celebrated her birthday with a run and baking bread. Things you will never hear me say. Trisha, that is really cool. I'm glad that that floats your boat, makes you happy. My mother used to make homemade bread when I was a kid, and we used to love dumping liquid melted butter all over it. And that's one of my favorite happy memories of fresh bread right out of the oven. But it's not what I'm going to be creating for my children, because making gluten-free bread is really, really hard. I'm in admiration of everyone who does not have celiac disease like I do. Go out and bake your bread. I love seeing those. It seems like it's a really hard thing, which is one of the reasons why I have no interest in doing it. So anyone who does it well enough that you're excited to make it and excited to eat it, I'm excited for you. That is super duper cool. It really is. Those are all the weekly wins. Since we only have questions in maintain, I'm going to answer the questions in maintain and wrap this up. It'll be a shorter podcast than usual, but that's okay too. So go back into this document. Would you remind us of the minimum long runs? Is it 90 minutes and why? Okay. So the minimum long run that I assign is 95 minutes. And here's why. At 90 minute mark of doing one thing continuously without stopping for more than 20 seconds here or there, you'll see in Training Peaks, I often refer to the long run as a continuous run. The very rare training plan where I assign tempo workouts, you will see me write down, this is a continuous run. What I mean by that is it's become popular in run clubs, especially for long runs that are supported. And I saw this in New York. I've seen it in Denver. I've seen this absolutely everywhere. Wherever water tends to be, people tend to stop, chatter, and congregate. And the problem with that is that the purpose of the long run is that it does need to be an endurance-based run, a long, unbroken run. I would rather you went much more slowly than to stop, catch your breath, stretch, you know, play around, and then get ready to go again. Because every time you stop, you are sort of hitting the reset button on an energy system that we can only tap into once a week. And tapping into that energy system happens after about 90 minutes of continuous work. So that's hence the 95 minutes. Because all we need to do is tap into it. We don't need to spend massive amounts of time there. There's a reason why the Hansen plans are all 16 miles long. It roughly comes out to the same calculation. Do you need to run more than 2.5 hours on a long run? The answer for elites is usually no. But they're also, most of the people that are running their 2.5 hours is their longest long run are expecting to complete the marathon in under 3 hours. For the rest of us, we need a slightly longer long run to get ready for a marathon or to stay ready to enter a marathon plan or race a half marathon at will, which is what we're trying to accomplish and maintain. And the reason that it starts there is so that it can progress week after week, and we just come a continual build up, reset. And we're not totally losing the long run. My goal is to keep it long enough that it's useful, but not so long that it becomes the first thing you cut when you're not in a training cycle, which is the mistake I've watched runners make over and over and over again every season as a coach. They say they're going to maintain in between training cycles, but they don't. They say, I'm going to run 5 days a week. They might run two. They say they're going to keep the long run, but the long runs aren't really long enough, and they're not frequent enough to really maintain the fitness level that they had at the end of the previous training cycle. Now, I don't care if you keep your fitness. I don't care if you maintain it. I'm not going to judge anyone for coming back. The problem is people go away and they come back and then they say, well, I should be faster than last time because I have experience, and try to put the onus on me. Like, my training plan doesn't work if they can't PR better than they did the last time, with no conversation whatsoever about what they would have been doing to truly maintain in between training cycles. So I tell you all that to tell you this. If you want to stay race ready, distance ready, half marathon ready, or even like a marathon that at a level at which we can build upon previously, then we really need to keep those long runs at a bare minimum of 95 unbroken minutes. And that's why that is. So we go longer only when it's time to go longer. But in between, you know what, you're getting the same amount of cardiovascular development between 95 minutes and 2 hours and 35 minutes. And if you really hate it, great. 95 minutes is good. If you love it, 2 hours and 35 minutes really is enough. We kind of maxed out the cardiovascular benefits at 90 minutes. And that's exactly why for my elites, if I have them running twice a day, the 90 minutes in the morning and 90 in the evening is the max. Each block of working out, of running, is capped at 90 minutes because that's the maximum amount of cardiovascular benefits you can see in a singular session. Outside of that, I don't ask anyone to run that much. That's also why when I say 30 to 60 minutes, that's the sweet spot for basically everyone. But for the fittest of the fit that are trying to eke out marginal gains, it's 90 minutes per session. We don't really need to ever get there. So their Wednesday night is our Saturday morning. Yay, us! Thank God we're not elite. That's plenty. If you want more, I'm happy to give it to you. But again, the difference between 95 minutes and 2 hours and 35 minutes in the recreational runner is so minimal. What I'm doing is giving you permission to be out the house by yourself longer, right? So if you want to go do a 4 hour run so that you don't have to, I don't know, be at your in-laws or to skip some event, then cool. Then the coach says, you need a 4 hour long run and you're paying good money for this program. So you go get that 4 hour long run in. I fit well under buses. Put me there whenever you need me there. That is fine. You can always blame me in the training plan. I can take it. That if that's what you're paying $30 a month for, that is valid and that is cool. But when it comes to what I'm asking you to do, if you need to meet metrics, if you need to feel like you're getting what you need to get, you obtained it cardiovascularly at efforts under 140, up to 90 minutes. If we're thinking about performance and performance build later, we need that extra leeway. We need to get in that 95 to 2.5 hour zone and stay there, at least for the long run, a couple times each month. So one is not necessarily better, but you're keeping that option open by doing it. And frankly, it's more time to unplug, disengage, and not have to be like in doing something. I love the long run. I love the Saturday long run. It's my favorite part time of the week. It's my favorite thing to do. I miss it when I don't have an excuse to do it. And so it's a gift that I want to give people, but I'd never want to force people to do more than what they're comfortable doing, more than what they want to do. And yeah, that's really why I wrote the plan the way that I did. There you go. Hi, coach. I know you recommend using a PVC pipe for foam rolling. Yes, I do. Builders, we're going to get to that later. Don't let what you're about to hear scare you. I use a PVC riser pipe for foam rolling, and we're going to talk through why. I'll admit that I started with the pool noodle foam roller I already had, and since it hurt really bad, I figured I would keep using it till I acclimated, then move to something more firm. That's valid. I'm ready now. Do you have recommendations for the length and diameter to get? Also, what do I cover it with? Could I glue a yoga mat to it? As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I used to recommend people do. I would send my runners, I mean, you can get as fancy as you want to get with the foam roller. They make all kinds of options. Rumble rollers, I think, are sold up to $80. Trigger Point has rollers that are well over $100. There are so many options for recovery and relief in the market, but nothing is any better or more efficient than a 6x2. That's 6x2 is a PVC riser pipe from Home Depot from the plumbing section, in the industrial section. To be honest, you probably don't have sewage that large in your home. It's industrial. It's fantastic. And it's like $7. So asking them to take a 6x2 PVC riser pipe and to cut it a little bit higher from the floor to about your little bit over your knee. That's going to be long enough to work for you. So it's 2 feet long by 6 inches in diameter. They're amazing. And one of the reasons that I like the firmness so much, when you're using something super soft that effectively is a pool noodle, you're not going to use it that often because it isn't really doing anything. You're going to go through the motions, think this is really pointless and not use it. When you go to something as hard as I'm going to ask you to go, yeah, it's going to hurt, but you're going to feel the difference too. And once you feel that difference, you're more likely to stick with it. But I also get that that's just a lot to ask of anyone all at once. So the in-between that I would ask my runners to do back in the days when I was meeting people personally at the track, I would say, go ahead and get the riser pipe. We will wrap it together. We would use it so that you understand why I've asked you to purchase it. And then we would all ceremoniously together wrap it in a yoga mat. And then when the day came that the yoga mat was no longer cutting the mustard, we take it right off of the riser pipe. So you do not have to do this, but you also do not have to spend $80 or a whole lot of time on Amazon looking for the best foam roller. The best foam roller is the one that's going to do what we need it to do, which is break up the fascia and soften your muscles and get all the junk out. And that's not going to happen with a really soft foam roller. So it's not going to happen with something that you've had for 10 years and never really used. If you've not been foam rolling in the past, even though you're a runner and you know you need to, there is a reason. I'm not going to ask you to waste time on anything. I'm not going to ask you to waste money on anything, but I am going to beg you to give the riser pipe a chance. And the way to make it more palatable is to get a cheap yoga mat and wrap it around it. But builders, we're going to come back to that later after I finished teaching you the entire warm-up routine. Final question. My office gym is not open, so running at lunch isn't really an option, but I try to walk 20 to 30 minutes outside a few days per week. What should I consider or focus on to get the most benefit? Engaging my core? What else? I don't think of it as engaging your core. I think of it as locking your cage. And here's why. When we talk about the core, when we think about the core, we think about the sheet of muscles that exist underneath your bra line all the way down to maybe an inch past your belly button where the top of your pants goes. That is a really narrow band of muscle. And it by itself doesn't do that much. When that area is engaged, what it is doing is supporting your back. So when I would tell people to lock your core, trying to engage that part, they tend to lean forward. The problem with that is if no one runs like this, this isn't good running form. We really want to keep your shoulders, your collarbone open. And rather than thinking about if I say like put your shoulders back, what happens is you're hyperextending your back and that's not got good form either. That's going to stretch your back out and put too much strain on your booty. So the cue that I give is called locking your cage, where you just sort of take the bottom part of your shoulder blades and think about drawing them together. That's it. It's kind of subtle. It engages the top part of your abs, but not in a way that like bends you forward. By thinking about your back, it stands you up a little bit taller. And that's all we want. That's the only form cue you'll ever need. And that's all you really need to think about when you're walking. When you're walking, if your cage is locked, you are using good form and you're also getting benefits from that walk that will extend into your running. Number one, walking is valid. It is a cardio workout. It is valid. It is valid. It is valid. Do it. Do it. It's good. I take extra long walks to my kids every day now for that reason. It's cardiovascular development and it can be fun. It is really good fun if you can get into it. I have discovered my love or retapped into my love of my nightly walks. I've been taking them next now that my husband is home and not traveling for work. I get to take evening walks whenever I want because there's someone in the house that theoretically could attend to the children if the house were to catch on fire. And I wouldn't be breaking the law by leaving and going. And it is so good. If you need an excuse, let me give you a couple of excuses. But a walk is a really terrific thing. It's nice. It is sort of like a brain bath is how I actually refer to it, because that is where I sort of clean out the junk of the day and come back and get ready. Like that is my wind down while I get ready and excited about going to sleep. When it comes to walking, the second thing that is really important about walking is that there are not many activities in which we can engage that will imitate not only the stress, cardiovascular stress that running will put on your body, but also the stress on your feet. So one of my issues with cross training and the reason in the past when people, if you've seen one of my previous versions of my marathon or half marathon training plans, I have openly discouraged cross training. And I'm one of the few coaches who does that. Number one, if you're running the way that I tell you to, which is truly going easy effort, you don't need to cross train as much because you're not overdoing it. And we don't need to switch things up. We need to adapt your body to running more. And the only way we can do that is by dialing back the effort elsewhere. You don't need as much cross training as you might have needed in cycles past. But number two, what happens when we're cross training, and we tell ourselves it's the same, but it isn't. You can't swim your way to marathon dominance or a half marathon dominance. And again, if you don't care about distance running, like performance ever, that is totally fine and valid. Do all the other stuff you want. But what we need to do when is think about our feet, our tendons, our joints, and our ligaments. And there are not many activities that would have our feet and our ankles bearing all of our body's weight. It very rarely happens on a bike. It does not happen in the water at all. So it does happen when you're on a Stairmaster and it does happen when you're walking. Stairmasters are not easily accessible to everyone. I get that. Walking is. So the one thing that is happening when you're out for a walk, well, the other things that are happening when you're out for a walk, yeah, it's not as hard an effort and you're not bouncing up and down the same way you would. That energy transfer from foot to foot, it does not perfectly imitate that of a run. I get it. But what it does do is put pressure on your feet. The critical adaptations, your body is used to being on your feet. That is valid. That is real. And that is beneficial to not just the run, but to performance later on. I used to say in my previous plans, time on your feet is all that matters. And that was to validate all the time that they would spend walking after they realized what the heart rate cap would do, how much it would slow them down. So remember this, it is valid. Is it exactly the same? No, but it's pretty darn good. Don't overlook the benefits and do it whenever you can. If you need excuses, I can always give you more. But as long as you're out there, yeah, think about locking your cage, but also find ways to connect with it and enjoy it, because that is how you're going to find more opportunities to do it. I care less about good form than I do about that. Lock the cage and don't try to turn it into something unnatural. I know it's really cool now to get like a backpack and fill it with like 40 or 50 pounds. That's just adding stress and wear and tear on your joints that isn't specific in any way. Unless you plan on running a race wearing that pack, I'm not really sure what we're adapting you to. And by the way, I don't know if you've heard the story about what put me in bed for 2 years, but it was a drug that made me gain 30 pounds in 3 weeks during my fourth pregnancy. And it threw off my system, my knees, my joints, my hips, my back for a very long time, because 30 pounds in 3 weeks is a lot of weight to gain. And you are gaining it instantaneously when you put that souped up pack on your back. So if I couldn't live through this experience in my body and say, this isn't terrible, because it was terrible, it's really hard for me to think that like grabbing a backpack and loading it down is beneficial or a good idea, because that's even more weight in less time than the weight that I gained in the beginning of that pregnancy. When I stopped taking the drug, I stopped gaining weight and only gained like, I think 20 more pounds like the subsequent 32 weeks. But it was fairly excessive. It was really hard on my body. It was too much too soon. My joints couldn't take it, and neither could my tendons or ligaments. We managed to avoid a lot of permanent damage by keeping me off my feet for a very long time. So if you are on your feet now more than you would have been before, the main thing I would say to be cognizant of, you know, good form is kind of okay, but not asking more of the event than what it warrants. It's a walk. If you want to run, run. There is no need to challenge yourself on a walk by carrying more weight or using ankle weights or carrying heavy stuff. Just don't. Embrace the walk. Enjoy the walk. Do the walk. Or if you need something more than a walk, do something more than a walk. Don't try to take a walk and up the ante, because there is nothing more American than taking something and making it unnecessarily hard. That's called hustle culture. And man, I hate that nonsense. I try to work that out of people. And it's a really hard thing to do, because we are so used to thinking there's a bigger medal for doing things the hard way. Or, you know, I like to say it's easy to go hard. It's hard to go smart. And I am going to, and on that note, that's all the questions we have this week. Whoa, it's the shortest week ever. So I'm going to close with a story that one of my kids asked me to tell. And if you're just joining us, here you go. So this week, this kid said to me, and it was not for the first time, "Mom, I really want to go to therapy. I think I should see a therapist." I balked. I balked at this for a while. Whether or not she needs it is subjective, but every expert with whom I have spoken up to this point over the past 2 years has categorically said, make therapy a path of last resort, because the second you go that way, what your child is hearing, there is something really bad wrong with me. And then that becomes something else we have to fix. So avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. She has been asking me for therapy all of this time, and I had followed the expert's advice and I've been saying no. Not yet. Let's try a few more things first. This time, she said, "I thought the point was to make me safe enough for ask for what I need. Isn't that what you tell your runners to do? To make space for what they need, ask for it, and then take it. This isn't about you, Mom. You're a great mom. I have really big feelings. We need more tools in my kit in order to manage them. You're a wonderful mother. I know that you love me. There's not something wrong with you for not having these tools." That hit me hard. It hit me really hard. So I said, okay, if this is what you want, we'll make it happen. And we reached out. She asked me to tell and to share this story because she loves me, wants to be just like me when she grows up, and is really big on helping people. And she's overheard these conversations for as long as I can remember. And she said, "I want you to tell people that you're getting me therapy, but don't say my name. I'm sure they'll figure out who you're talking about." And I said, "Are you sure you want that?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Are you sure you're okay with that?" She said, "Yeah, I'm not ashamed." I said, "You don't owe anyone anything. This is my job. I speak publicly because it's efficient, and I'm trying to reach as many people as possible so that I have more time for you." And she said, "I understand that too. But how are they ever going to believe it's okay to see a therapist and get help? How are they ever going to trust that you won't judge them if you don't take me?" And that hurt me too. I said, "You're right. You're absolutely right." I said, "Why is it you want me to tell this story? Why is it important to you that I share the story?" She said, "Moms and dads were once kids, and maybe their parents didn't help them or didn't know how to. They need to know that if their kids need more than what they have to offer right now, that they aren't bad parents just because their kids need help. They need to remember that they're good parents because their kids knew how to ask it all. They did that. So there you go. On a complicated day for a whole lot of people feeling a whole lot of things at a time when a whole lot of parents think that they are falling apart or failing in general. Conversations like that remind, at least this reminds me that maybe I don't suck at this completely, even though I didn't get a roadmap and I didn't have a Coach MK telling me what to do each step of the way. Asking for help is not failure. And what's it all for if I've taught my kid how to do it, but I won't take her. So that is our journey starts next week. Yep, there's no shame here in fitness protection. I'm here to have your back as well as hers. There you go. We try to practice what we preach around here. It's a time that's complicated. It is not easy at all, but asking for a little more help or at bringing in the big guns doesn't mean that you're weak or failing in any conceivable way. Matter of fact, if your kid can look you in the face and say, I want you to treat me the same way you treat everybody else and get me this one thing you tell everyone else to get all the time, that could be proof positive that what you're doing is, in fact, winning at life. And all of you are, because you're here. You're also coached and loved, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend.